WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Joy and relief in Gaza and in Israel as the first three hostages are released by Hamas under the ceasefire deal in effect with Israel.
Much of Israel likely exhaled a collective sigh of relief, and we saw people let themselves smile and finally jump for joy after 15 months of war. 30 more hostages are set for release in phase one, a handful every 7 days, and that includes two Americans. One is 65-year-old Keith Siegel, the other is 36-year-old Sagi Dekel Hen. The hope in Israel now is that this deal will hold for them all to be freed soon. Rami Innocencio, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
President Biden noted the release while speaking at a South Carolina church on his last full day in office.
Three Israeli women held against their will in the dark tunnels for 470 days. Four more women will be released in 7 days. Three additional hostages every 7 days thereafter, including at least two American citizens.
Among the last pardons issued by President Biden, there is one for Virginia House Speaker Don Scott, who was convicted in 1994 of a federal drug-related offense. Scott told CBS News,
"I'm very surprised. I'm very grateful. I'm very blessed. Thank you, Joe Biden."
More on the Don Scott pardon from CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Don Scott, the first ever African-American Speaker of the House in Virginia, says the clemency issued to him by President Biden is proof comebacks and vindications are possible. He told CBS News he is overcome with emotion by the president's decision. He pleaded guilty in the 1990s to a nonviolent drug crime, got a nearly 10-year prison sentence, and says he is a changed man.
At Washington, D.C.'s Capital One Arena.
Well, welcome to the Make America Great Again Victory Rally!
Kid Rock, among the performers at a Trump inauguration celebration, the president-elect will be speaking soon. Mr. Trump laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns at Arlington National Cemetery earlier. Incoming National Security Advisor Congressman Mike Waltz was asked on CBS's Face the Nation about the president-elect saying he will grant TikTok a deadline extension to avoid a U.S. ban.
I don't want to get ahead of President Trump on the deal, but he is definitely wanting to have the time right now, which would mean an extension to evaluate the deals that are on the table.
Snow and cold have swept the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, including Philadelphia.
Everything is fully deployed. They're already working to handle both the storm and the extreme temperatures following behind it.
Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Ahead of President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration, thousands of people are protesting this weekend. Special teams have even made their way to D.C. to try to keep things peaceful without using force. Mike Moen reports.
Nonviolent Peace Force was invited by organizers of the People's March to ensure demonstrators feel safe as they express their views. The group's Anna Zero says they'll take a nonpartisan approach in helping out. They'll be on the spot to carry out de-escalation tactics if needed.
What we do is really about leaning into the humanity of other people, right? People often escalate because they're not being heard and because they feel vulnerable. So if we can reach out to that person proactively, if we see attention rising and listen to them, kind of divert the attention.
In 2017, before Trump's first inauguration, this event was called the Women's March, but has been rebranded as progressives worry about actions like mass deportations. Zero says preparation is key to setting a peaceful tone, noting they trained roughly 200 volunteers in recent weeks. She acknowledges in today's political climate it can be tricky to encourage tolerance, as a lot of people have strong feelings about where we are as a country. But she insists it's still worth it, even if it feels out of reach.
Sometimes the work of nonviolence can feel like, no, this isn't what we need. Our problems are too big. But that is exactly when we do need nonviolence, because when we see these fissures in our ability to relate to other human beings, nonviolence at its core is about being able to see that person for who they are.
She says building tolerance usually takes longer when teaching it to people surrounded by conflict. The weekend assistance won't foster deep political discussions if tension arises, but rather those on-the-spot efforts to lower the temperature. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cold weather advisory in effect into Tuesday. Mostly clear and frigid tonight. A low near negative 14. Wind chill values as cold as 30 below. Mostly sunny and frigid on Martin Luther King Day. A high near 5 below. Wind chill values again as low as 30 below. Right now, it's 5 below.
Pat Kreitlow. On Monday morning, the return of Dr. Kristen Lierley from some faraway island. And a president gets inaugurated too, I guess.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. First up is Matt Nair on Air. And this week, Jane and Greg remembered the four-year anniversary of January 6th, and, more importantly, attempts to rewrite the history of that day.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you. Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a say in referenda. There are other states that do that, Greg Bach.
I think like half of them already do that.
Yes, many, many states do that. And Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a little say about what gets on the ballot. Of course, Popcorn King Robin Voss has some thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't surprise anyone. We'll be talking about that after the 10:30 news, the citizen referendums. Of course, the flags are flying at half staff today and will be throughout the month. Not everyone is happy about that. I'll let you guess who. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Next hour, this is something that I think Greg has kind of flown under the radar a little bit.
Yes.
If you're going to be traveling and you're going to be traveling overseas. Yeah. It was not intentional, actually. If you're going to be traveling, and especially overseas, and not just overseas, but within the country, there have been some changes, and you're going to need the correct documentation. So we will be kicking that around after 11 o'clock. We have an update on the boat stuck at Bradford Beach. We finally know who that boat belongs to.
Would you say we put a face to a McBoaty face?
Oh. Look at you. They're looking for a little help, apparently, owners of that boat that's been stuck there for well over a month. After the 11:30 news, the Golden Globes were last night. We will take our look at the rundown of the winners and highlight some of the speeches. And then we will wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the High and Dry edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Going to start off the show today, though. It is January 6th. It is the four-year anniversary of the attack at the U.S. Capitol. According to some, it was a day of love, Greg Bach. A day of love, not necessarily from some of the officers who were defending our lawmakers and our Capitol. Aquilino Gunnell, who was one of the officers, one of the Capitol Police officers protecting us that day, he has an article in the Bulwark today called, and the headline reads, "I was nearly killed on January 6th. 4 years later, I feel betrayed all over again. The people whose lives I protected sided with my attackers, but they weren't the only ones who let me down. I don't know about you, but I watched all of it unfold live on television.
I did as well. I was working at the barber shop, and it was a quiet day, and I was watching it happen, and all of a sudden I'm seeing people rushing the stairs and fires being lit and guns going off. I remember standing up and saying to my coworkers, something really wrong is happening right now. And it was absolutely tragic to watch. And it's one of those moments. It's a JFK September 11th. Where were you on January 6th? Did you watch it happen? Did you hear? Well, how did you hear about it?
I will never forget those images.
Yeah.
And if you have someone in your family circle who still maintains that it was nothing, it was a blip. I highly encourage you to pull up some of the video from that day and look at what was happening with our Capitol police officers and the other officers who were called in to help. It was horrific. We had rioters attacking police officers with flagpoles.
Yeah.
If you saw any of the attack on, they pulled them out into the crowd, beating them on the ground. The officer that Pat Kreitlow had on his show, who's unfortunately escaped me right now.
I know who you're talking about too. He's written a book, and he did a tour about it. And I think about the officer who was being crushed by
the door
and them saying push and push and take his helmet. And and the bravery of the other officer who led the traitors. They're traitors. They're insurrectionists. They're not citizens to me. They're traitors away from Republicans and Democrats who we don't know what would have happened had they been discovered.
They had a noose on the front lawn.
Yeah, they were demanding to execute the sitting vice president at the time. I mean, we could go on and on and on. There is no version of the story that makes them look like fun-loving, patriotic tourists who are just taking in the sights that day. This was a mob of violent, armed traitors who walked into the building because they were upset that they didn't get their way.
Well, and it was encouraged by the former president.
Yes.
We had 2 months leading up to this of, it was stolen. It was stolen. There was no evidence that it had been stolen. There were 60 court cases that they lost. Mm-hmm. And yet, and I will say this, Greg, I do think that there were some people who did not go into the Capitol, who did not attack our police officers. There were certainly some people there who were not violent, but the core of them, we're talking about 1,800 people.
I that's where I'll disagree with you. I don't care what their intentions were. They attended, they were there, they walked in. When you are standing around people screaming and yelling, doing that, trying to cause violence, and you're a part, you were in it, you are as culpable as the rest of them. You can't, I do not believe you say, well, I didn't know. Well, if you didn't know, then you shouldn't have gone in. I mean, we have a sitting congressman from this state who was there. He didn't go to the Capitol. That is very proven. But
are you talking about Derek?
Derek Van Orden. Yeah, Derek DVO. Van Orden. He DVO was there, and I find him to be just as culpable and as much of a traitor as the rest of them. So I do not accept what their intentions were. They were there, and this really, really angers me because, and we talked about this today on Pat's show when you were on. By the way, Jane's always on Pat's show at the end on Mondays. Tune in. This is coming from these people who are revisioning the history here. These are coming from the people who support the blue, back the blue. They're all for the cops. Absolutely, without doubt. Yes. Pro-cop. Yes. But when it comes to these individuals who are nearly killed and to the officers who died as a result of this traitorous event, I don't know, man. I don't know. Oh, all of a sudden, the blue isn't worth your support. It's these people in camo who are playing Weekend Warrior with their guns and their flagpoles. They're the ones who are in worthy
of
your. They're the patriots and not the ones who are laying down their lives and putting themselves in harm's way to save people. That's good. All right, cool. Just so we have that down as an argument. Great.
John Kay on the live stream says, I was watching from home while I worked, and I felt the same as I felt on 9/11. Yeah, I hear you, John. It was surreal. And I kept saying to myself, where is all the help? Where is the help?
Yeah.
And of course, the backers of Donald Trump will say, well, that was Nancy Pelosi's responsibility.
No,
it wasn't.
No,
it actually was not.
And that's been proven time and time again. There's one man who should have done something and he didn't. He sat in his office, watched it on television
for hours,
was enjoying it because he felt like he was getting his way. And he felt like he didn't. And it was like 3 hours later, he goes to the Rose Garden and makes some cockamamie speech. We love you. Go home. Traitor. Just absolute. God, I want to swear so bad right now, Jane, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to, but it's infuriating. And it also, like, the world watched this. And it's different than 9/11, because when 9/11 happened, this was an attack. This was a terrorist attack from overseas.
From outside.
Nothing.
From outside.
The call came from inside the house, and the whole world got to watch this happen. In America, where we're supposed to be so strong and so powerful, it was just absolutely mind-blowing to witness. And for a moment, I thought, oh, of course we'll be united on this one. We know who the perpetrators are.
The bad guys are, yeah.
Not so much if you ask the elected officials who were there that day.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Greg, because Tom Dreisbach on Twitter has a whole series of what our Republican lawmakers said in the immediate aftermath mm-hmm. of January 6th.
Yep.
This is within the first 2 days.
Yeah.
Because as you'll remember, Kevin McCarthy then, after what, 4 days, flew down to Mar-a-Lago
yep.
and completely rehabilitated Donald Trump.
Yep.
And brought him back to life.
Yes.
This is what John Thune said, who is now Senate Majority Leader, about January 6th. A shrine to democracy for our country and the world was overrun by violent extremists seeking to overturn an election. We must hold those responsible to account. Senator John Marasso, the violence and destruction have no place in our republic. It must end now. Mitch McConnell, January 6th was a disgrace. American citizens attacked their own government. They used terrorism to try to stop a specific piece of domestic business they did not like. Senator Marsha Blackburn, these actions at the U.S. Capitol by protesters are truly despicable and unacceptable. While I am safe and sheltering in place, these protests are prohibiting us from doing our constitutional duty. I condemn them in the strongest possible terms. We are a nation of laws. Yeah, maybe not so much, Marsha.
Yeah, I'm watching. Like we have news running in the studio at all times at Radio Park, and I'm watching footage right now of people using nightsticks and shields from the cops to break the windows of the Capitol. Spell out for me where Love Fest begins. Spell out to me this was a tour and not an attack.
Were you watching what happened on January 6th? What do you think about where we are now? 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by 4 generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, Or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This week, Pete Schwabe of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe did his show down in Madison. And as a guest, he welcomed on Madison musician Katie Scullin. Next up on Spotlight, she talks about her process for writing songs and performs a song live on the air.
Hey, I'm Pete Schwabe. Welcome back. We are broadcasting statewide from Madison tonight. It's always fun to do the show from here. Chris Casper helping out. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, as always. Conrad holding the fort back down back in Green Bay, telling everyone to keep it down so I don't know he's throwing a party. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She has been on the show before. She's a Madison-based singer-songwriter, and she's awesome in so many ways. And her name is Katie Scullin. Katie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. How's it going?
It's going great. It's so good to have you back. I really enjoyed you being here last time. You came down. Do you live far away, or is this an easy commute for you?
It is. Yeah, okay. I'm close by. I live in Oregon, just south.
So how have you been? How's the career going? Have you played any good gigs recently? Where are things at?
I've been good. Yeah. I've been mostly focused on writing and recording. Okay. My goal is to release a full length in 2025. So I have some time, but yeah. I've got, you know, like 5 or 6 songs ready to go, 3-4 in the works. But yeah, I've been just really focused on that. Played a couple shows. Indie Tune Up is one that I really like here in Fitchburg. Yeah.
How long does it take you to like, when you have the concept of a song, to write it down, mess around with it, from that moment to playing it live? What's that process like? How long is that?
I think it depends. Sometimes it will take months, and sometimes I'll write it in like a weekend.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, like I wrote one this weekend, which is strange because sometimes I'll go through like seasons of writer's block and won't be able to write anything
at
all.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's too bad. But it all depends. Yeah. And then sometimes it takes forever, and then sometimes I'll write a song and I'll go back to it and change it completely. And yeah.
Will you, I think I know the answer to this, but would you be willing to play us a song?
Absolutely.
You have a guitar. I figured you were prepared for that question.
As long as I don't get a Freebird request.
Casper. What are you going to play for us?
Well, I think I'll do the one that we talked about. How about
the new one?
Sweet Escape?
Oh, Sweet Escape.
Sweet
I
Escape?
Love Sweet Escape. Okay. Yes, please. All right, here's Katie Scullin live in the studio playing Sweet Escape.
I was there on my own, not for rich, not for poor. It didn't mean a thing, just the chance to run, just the chance to be free. They came fire in your eyes, you cut me blind, you stole my guiding light. You're making promises, you take all my dreams, you coincide and make them reality. See? watched you beg Stephen T. Baby, I unchained my own heart and I set myself free. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Very nice. Chris is clapping on the other side of the... Conrad, are you clapping your green bag? He's mysteriously dark. Okay. Happens, but there you go. You can hear that. That's a great song. I love it.
Thank you.
It's got such a bluesy... let me ask you something. What is your favorite genre, would you say, that has influenced your songwriting or music writing styles?
Gosh, I have... I don't know. I like all sorts of music. Sometimes people have referred to me as like a wet noodle because I can't quite put me in a, like, in a genre. Growing up, I really loved Tori Amos. Amos. I think that this particular song was inspired by Amy Winehouse, which maybe is
interesting.
Why it has sort of a bluesy feel to it.
Yeah. It's kind of a haunting song too. It has a lot of undertones, you know, going on there. So
yeah,
that's cool. So how do you know when you have a great song?
Do
you have to play it in front of an audience first, or do you go, this is it. This is, I love this.
I think sometimes I just like, I feel good about it, or like it hits me in a way where I'm like, I have to share it. I don't always know if it's good or not. But I think if I'm feeling something when I'm singing it, I guess I'm just hopeful that other people will resonate with that as well.
Do you need that connection with an audience to know? Do you like the song better when people respond to it, or is it a personal thing for you?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think for a while I did it because I just like needed to. And then I started to receive feedback from people like, oh my gosh, that song, you know, this happened in my life and this song meant so much to me. And I think about their story and then I look back at the lyrics that I wrote and I'm just kind of like awestruck how a completely different situation means the same thing to them. Mm. And it was a different scenario for me.
Like they connect with it totally different than what you were feeling maybe when you wrote it.
Right. That's, or like the storyline. Like, yeah, it's a completely different like situation, but when you look at the lyrics, I'm like, oh, wait a second, that's so strange.
Katie Scullin is here in studio with me for the second time. You were here probably in the summer, maybe.
Yes. Yes, I was in pink pants, so
you adhere to those rules,
right?
I'm more brassy than that. I'll wear pink pants after October 1st. I don't care.
Yeah,
that's just how I roll. She's gonna hopefully play something else for us. And I want to ask you about videos you've done too, because I'm fascinated by that. Like, you have great. And if you want to see more of Katie's stuff, go to katiescullin.com. There's a bio there. There's songs, some that have lyrics and videos. It's great stuff. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, get in on the fun. What is your favorite video game? Kate from Stevens Point, she's in the 715, says The Sims.
Ooh.
I don't even know that. I've heard it, but I don't know anything about that.
I wonder if it's similar. I think Sim City, is that different? I used to love Sim City when I was a kid.
Probably. It sounds like... Yeah. Like the kids would shorten it out of The Sims.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Thank you, Kate. And she says, oh, we basketball. All right. We'll read more of your text. Let us know what your favorite video game is tonight. Matt Miller is here at 720 breaking down the Golden Globes. Right now, we still got time with Katie Scullin. And that's where we're going to be when we come back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Special Report. Hundreds of aid trucks are rolling into Gaza with the 42-day first phase of the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in effect. CBS's Remy Innocenzo reports from Tel Aviv on the first three Israeli hostages released by Hamas.
Getting out of that Hamas vehicle, it appeared they were able to walk on their own, which will be a relief to many who feared their condition. They will still go through checkups and a long physical and psychological journey to try to now reintegrate back into society.
They are described as in stable condition. 90 Palestinian prisoners are to be released by Israel. CBS News senior foreign affairs correspondent Margaret Brennan tells us the ceasefire deal is something of a work in progress.
Phase two still has to be negotiated over the next few weeks. That will be in the hands of the incoming Trump administration.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Toscano.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers win in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's basketball, Wisconsin faced USC for the first time in the Big Ten Conference, and the Badgers came out on top, 84-69. Wisconsin held off the Trojans after they scored 13 unanswered points in the second half. Head coach Greg Gard.
Defensively, to be able to catch ourselves after that first 5 to 7 minutes when they made a run back at us, and I think the moxie of the group, they didn't panic. I think that's what makes this team really, really good, is that we have a lot of pieces and a lot of weapons.
The Badgers have now won 7 in a row. Number 7th ranked Marquette falling short at home to Xavier, 59-57. The Golden Eagles unable to score during a 5-minute period down the stretch. Coach Shaka Smart.
Congrats to Xavier. They came in here with phenomenal force and aggressiveness. It's a 19-point game on our home floor with about 15 to play. That's 1,000% a testament to them and how they played.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cold weather advisory in effect into Tuesday. Mostly clear and frigid tonight. A low near negative 14. Wind chill values as cold as 30 below. Mostly sunny and frigid on Martin Luther King Day. A high near 5 below. Wind chill values again as low as 30 below. Right now, it's 5 below.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Never-Clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota Federal Appeals Court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson versus Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We return you now to the Civic Media Spotlight, and on deck is a segment from The Earl Ingram Show. This week, Earl welcomed on attorney Roy Evans, and the pair discussed DEI and affirmative action programs, as well as their history in the lead up to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guest is attorney Roy Evans. And, you know, the subject, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do is I've watched people celebrate the death of DEI and say, you know, especially many conservatives, that this has been discriminatory towards white men. And so in this nation, we can't have discrimination. And we just heard Attorney Roy Evans say, you know, his father, who was a veteran, got discriminated against, you know, when he came back. And, you know, Attorney Evans, my father, the exact same thing. It was not just, it was all black men and black people who came from.
But that's the whole thought. I mean, we can isolate it to me and my family, not only my father, my grandfather, who I used to visit in Mississippi, had to work as a janitor at a white church, even though he had a mathematics degree. He was not allowed to teach and not allowed to vote, which set us back as a family in gaining wealth and status and the opportunities that we needed to find out what our potentials were. So it's not just me. It's my family. It's you. It's your family. And if we look at the history of this country, which was built on slavery, which was built on terrorism, because there were many black cities that were burnt out. There were many people. I mean, so we have to examine all of those types of things to really get just an inkling of an understanding of what we're dealing with today and the necessity of things like there shouldn't have to be affirmative action.
Right.
If we adhere to the preambles of our Constitution and the underpinnings of our existence, we shouldn't have to have, because things should be fair. But terms and words are interpreted by people. And when people are in power, just like the Supreme Court, interprets the Constitution. They can say what is and what is not. They are supposed to be above partisan politics, but they have been tainted and are now making decisions based on political desires. The two greatest, and everything I do as an attorney is influenced by the Constitution, but in the interpretations of the Constitution. And in my mind, the two greatest tragedies of our Constitution was the appointment of Clarence Thomas and Citizens United, which allowed decision-making to really placate those who were interested and not helping this country seek equality or seek equity or seek righteousness or seek fairness or seek those things that they claim are sacred to a democracy. So we are constantly fighting with ourselves over what we should do and how we should do it. I mean, one thing comes to mind this morning. Here we are laying to rest one of the greatest presidents ever, Jimmy Carter. And I was just reading an article about how the evangelicals set up a campaign of hate against him because he supported the civil rights movement and black people. And we have to really break this down as to what it really is. It's based on race. We want to say that it's not based on race and that it's all geared towards merit. And if you discriminate against one, you discriminate against other, but it's not. You are involved in sports and athletics. And I know I've done sports and athletics as a participant, and I've been a boxing official. And you know that in order to have a fair fight, you have to have a fair, you have to have rules, you have to have guidelines. And you have to have referees that are going to allow for any boxing match or any athletic contest to be free of bias, to be free of unwarranted actions that would make that contest unfair. And we are not at that point. And again, I know I'm rambling around a little bit because there's so many things that come to mind when we talk about this particular subject. We're in a position now in the history of this country that we are going to roll backwards before we're going to be able to move forward.
So let me, that point being made, Attorney Evans, let me say to you, you and I, again, you're an attorney. You certainly weren't given that. You earned it. But there were people before you who tried to become attorneys, black people, who, you know, for decades were denied that opportunities. The civil rights struggle, the fight for equal rights brought that about, gave you an opportunity to well earn, to be able to have these types of, you know, to ply your trade. Let's put it that way. What I'm saying to you is, you're in my time because of what took place in the civil rights struggle, Dr. King and others who fought that battle, and even you and others, gave us an opportunity to live a middle-class lifestyle. Our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, at the rate things are going now, with them taking away affirmative action and DEI, are going back to a time that your grandfather and great-grandfather, and that's the issue, man. Well, you know, the history books, they don't want around anymore. So they're doing away with that.
Well, Earl, they we never really left that time. The Civil War has never really been over. It was put on pause. There was compromise. And again, this is the importance of learning history. And again, you know, we're getting off on tangents, but this is part of the reason they don't want certain things to be taught nowadays in classes. Which I think is really ridiculous as an educator myself. Learning is uncomfortable, and learning the truth is even more uncomfortable. But you don't get a sense of comfort unless you understand and can appreciate the truth and base your actions on what you know and understand. People would rather use emotion and opinion as their basis of understanding. An opinion is just how you feel or what you think. You wouldn't want me to go into the courtroom and your life is on the line and I'm asking the judge, this is my opinion, judge. I think Earl is a really nice guy. I don't know if he did it. He probably didn't do it and so forth and so on. You want me to go in with the facts, the proof, the evidence, the understanding of the legal consequences, the law that supports my position, and those types of things. But we don't have the opportunity to have the dialogue like in the courtroom where you have sides, you have proof, you have evidence, you have your authorities where your positions can be supported.
So Attorney Evans, diversity, equity, and inclusion, affirmative action, those things came out of the judicial system that said they were going to work towards correcting injustice. So how can you now, and people say, well, you've had, it's been long enough.
No. I don't know where that comes from. It's been long enough. And in fact, as a first year law student, I represented the America's Black Law Students on the international panel in D.C. on the post-Bakke strategies after the Bakke decision came out. I met in D.C.
Well, people don't know what the Bakke decision was.
Bakke was a lawsuit against the Berkeley Law Medical School. By a white student who indicated that because there was a program to allow disadvantaged students into the medical school, he was not allowed. And even though he was more qualified, he was discriminated against. So he indicated that such programs were those programs, affirmative action, was set up to right wrongs, legal remedy for righting a wrong that existed because of the disparities that were created by history. the greed, the neglect, and the outright hostility towards people of color. It was to get some type of semblance of balance in giving opportunities that my grandfather didn't get. Okay, that's cool. My father didn't get. That affects me directly because now I have to, as an attorney, compete against those who did, whose fathers did get VA's loans, who passed that equity on to them so that they had an opportunity to experience life in a different way. I knew my experience on serving on that national panel right then. There were people saying, well, this is not going to work because we don't want it to work. We don't believe it's fair, and we're not going to allow it to work. And what happened is where we are at now, there were people who just took a side like they're doing now, saying these programs are no good. It's reverse discrimination. And I agree with reverse discrimination. If you've got discrimination, you should reverse it. I mean, but what has happened is, again, as an English major, a lot of the language like woke and false facts and that type of thing has been taken over and hijacked to demean the initial meaning of what those terms were set up to present. And then they have been promoted and put forward as something evil. And they were produced through the media as something that should be fought against. And people, without doing their research, have picked up on them and sided one way or the other, mainly because they're associated with race.
So Attorney Evans, the reason I think that this is so important a discussion is we've seen them working to dismantle. They've taken away affirmative action. The Supreme Court decided against it. And it's not accidental now that they've come after diversity, equity, and inclusion. So go ahead.
Well, you know, and I've written several articles. And one article I wrote the night that Barack Obama was elected, I was in South Carolina with my wife, and I was elated that we had our first African-American president. But let me tell you, being in South Carolina, there were a lot of people who were not happy. In fact, they were hostile. There was a run on the gun stores, and there was, he leads a madrasa and this, that, and so forth, and so on. So I wrote a paper at that time, based on the hostility that I saw, called the Tsunami Warning. Because I knew that Barack Obama's election as an African-American in this country would set off what we are dealing with today. We're in the tsunami of the backlash of the earthquake that was Barack Obama, which was based on race.
Hold that thought, Attorney Evans, 855-752-4842. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is Attorney Roy Evans. You can join us.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it?
But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up the Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we'll hear from Mino and the Mayor out of Green Bay. They talk with Green Bay native Landon Jones, a content creator, about his Doritos commercial he made, a semi-finalist for being run in the Super Bowl.
Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Special thanks to Don McColl, Bell and Sports Medicine, and the entire gang over there, and of course, Lisa Hale. Nuisco weekend preview, and I think I pronounced it wrong again.
Pretty close. Nuisco weekend.
Nuisco weekend, which is a phenomenal show. Right now, we've got a very interesting gentleman. Oh, man. Landon Jones, Adobe Bryant, Green Bay creator. His commercial is a semifinalist for Doritos and could possibly air during the Super Bowl, which is the second highest rated sporting event, I think, in the world. Mm-hmm. This is funny, though. I was just reading this the other day. It said highest rated or most viewership. The finals of the World Cup has half of the population of the world watches.
Wow.
Maybe we'll go to every 4 years. Yeah, wow.
Landon Jones, welcome. Give us a little bit about yourself. This is exciting.
Thanks. I appreciate the introduction. So I'm a creative content creator from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I have an agency over on Walnut Street called Respect. We do a lot of creative work, web design, graphic design, videography, photography. We do some podcast stuff. And yeah, I graduated from Green Bay East 2004.
Played some ball?
Yeah, we played some ball.
You schooled Harry Boyce, you told me.
Yes, I did.
You blocked his shots every practice to the point where he almost wept. Is that true?
This is very true. Nothing is truer. I'm just kidding, Harry.
But tell us more about how you went from Green Bay East to doing what you're doing and then what this next step could possibly be.
So after high school, I went to UW-Milwaukee for 2 years. I was going for healthcare administration, but on the side, when I'd be at my dorm, I'd just be working on Photoshop, different creative apps, and I started to meet people who needed creative services, mostly in the music industry, and I created stuff for them, and they started to offer to pay me, and it was just kind of like the light bulb went off, and, you know, I was going to my anatomy class. If you ever taken an anatomy class, anatomy's crazy.
Right.
You gotta study all the time. So I just found that my passion,
you gotta know where everything is.
Yeah. Exactly. I found that my passion was more in the creative field. So just took the jump, dropped out, and just started pursuing that.
That's awesome.
Well, keeping you employed for 20 years.
Yeah.
So you must be really good at what you do. I really got to know you just recently over this ad that you put together. And I'm telling you, I think you're going to win. I think you put together an ad for Doritos. They put together a contest and said, submit ads, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. They must have got a million ads.
Thousands, yeah.
Thousands, yeah. I'm sure they got thousands of ads. They keep whittling it down. You are a semifinalist. They're down to 25 ads. Yours is one of them.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if people have
seen it.
What do you call that ad?
It's like, if somebody really wants
it's on YouTube. But how do people, if they want to watch it, like right now?
It's called That's Bold.
That's Bold.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the name of the ad. So just Google That's Bold and you will see the work of Landon. It's really funny. Where do you come up with these concepts? That is a good one.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes they just come out thin air. but yeah, I was sitting on the couch. I was eating some Doritos. I just had one in my hand. I was looking at it and I just try and think of different scenarios playing out, like obviously not all based in like reality, how things actually work, you know, just like what could be ridiculous or like just interesting that makes somebody laugh. And I was like, well, what if my hand got bigger? And then I was like, okay, well, what would happen if I ate it? If that effect happened? Okay. The head would get bigger. And then, you know, I kind of went down the rabbit hole.
Man, that's funny.
That is a guy, the person who...
Absolutely. I wonder if it would work there.
And there was a low budget commercial. Is that fair to say?
It doesn't look low budget though.
No, it doesn't.
The technical aspects are top notch.
And the kitchen, but tell us about how you the production of it.
I mean, the production, like on the budget side, it was pretty simple. You know, most of it, it's just over the years, just learning lighting. I don't want to say mastering because I believe in always being a student, but just having a firmer grasp on the fundamentals of lighting and composition and stuff like that. I think that's where it appears really professional.
How did you hear? So you submitted it. When did they take that first round?
It was November. I think it was November 21st that the initial submissions were due by.
And how did you hear that you made a cut?
They emailed me, actually. Okay. Yeah.
Those must be fun to open up.
Oh, it was crazy. I was screaming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a text here. When will you know if you win?
So January 14th, they cut it down to 3 finalists.
And it's what, 25 right now?
Yeah, 25. Okay. And then it'll go to public voting.
Oh, really?
There, that's another plus in your
column. How can we tell people? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll get you some votes here, I'll tell you. Yeah.
It'll be on DoritosCrash.com.
DoritosCrash.com.
Well, we'll wait till the 14th.
Yeah.
And then we'll wait till the 14th because that's when they take it down to 3. That's not a lot. I mean, and one of those is going to win $1 million. So
yeah.
Now, did you have to get the okay from Doritos or did they contact you? How did that part of it work?
With regard to
the entry of the first round.
You guys doing a commercial for Doritos?
Oh, okay. No, it was open to the public. Anybody could enter. Doritos Crash Super Bowl contest. It's been going on for years. It was gone for 8 years, but it came back.
Got it.
And so, yeah, anybody in the U.S. could enter.
He made this commercial 4 years ago.
And has that's what you were saying
on it. But the reason you sat on it was the contest wasn't available, right?
Yeah, it wasn't available. And then when the contest came around, there was some stuff in the rules that said it has to be like a new piece of work.
Original?
Yeah, so I just recreated it.
I see.
Used everything that I learned from lighting in that time and just
value. You're a pro. You got an advertising agency. Did you run it by one of your old professors or somebody to say, what do you think? Or is this just you made all the decisions?
A focus group or whatever?
Kaveh, Tim, just internally. Harry saw it before it was submitted.
But like Johnson, you didn't do a focus group and change a word or change an action. And I think that's great. No, just I sometimes I think people, they don't do anything because it's, you know, analysis or paralysis through analysis, you know. And I think I just applaud you for taking the guts just to put your name in there, too. And look how far you've got.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
That's
awesome.
It's
got to be fun, though.
Oh, super fun. Okay. We're having a blast.
When are you going to hire me? Think about that.
Okay, Johnny,
I got some great ideas.
Johnny wants a job. I want 10%. And Todd wants Doritos.
I told them when I was in college, I got an A-plus in my commercial thing that I had to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, come on down to Johnny's Auto Emporium. You can't believe what we got here. I'm telling you, I can beat your guy. We're going to set a quick break. Can you stick around?
Yeah.
And by the way, you said the streets are a little slippery out there, right?
Yeah.
Driving around?
Yeah, I'd be careful out there.
Okay.
All right.
Quick break. John Spagnuolo, former Green Bay Packer and Philadelphia Eagle, is coming up. The Labonte brothers. You do not want to miss them. Stay with us.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this, you're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss the life and presidency of Jimmy Carter with journalist and political consultant Candy Stroud before spending some time honoring Dr. King's holiday.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano, outside an Israeli hospital. Jubilation over the return of the first three Israeli hostages released by Hamas as phase one of the ceasefire deal is now underway.
The three female hostages were handed over to the Red Cross while the van they were in was surrounded by a crowd of thousands of Palestinians. Several dozen armed Hamas men guarded the car. One of the three women, Emily Damari, is a dual British and Israeli citizen. The Red Cross transferred them to Israeli soldiers, where they were reunited with their mothers at an army facility just inside Israel.
Linda Gradstein reporting from Jerusalem. Israeli military spokesman Daniel Hagari sounded a note of caution.
Our mission is not over until every single hostage comes home.
90 Palestinians are being held by Israel. They're set to be released in this first